Amen. Grab your Bible tonight. We're going to be in Deuteronomy 32 and Isaiah chapter 40. We, of course, have been on this series for several Sunday nights. We actually began back in October in our As an Eagle message. And we, of course, have learned some lessons. We'll highlight all those real quickly in our introduction tonight. But stand with me when you find Deuteronomy 32 and Isaiah 40. We're going to read these text sections tonight and then jump right into the message. So good to have you in church tonight. Again, I know we're a little thinner because of folks out of town, but I'm just tickled to death you're here tonight, and I appreciate that so much. And I'm glad you're here for this, because this is such an important message that we're going to look at tonight. Let me read verse 11. The Bible says, Deuteronomy 32, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. That little phrase is our title of the series, As an Eagle. Flip now over, if you will, to Isaiah 40 and stay here. We're going to end here tonight as we dig a little deeper in Isaiah 40, picking up in verse number 29 is where we began to read when this series started. The Bible asks, hast thou not known, in verse 28, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. I love verse 29. He giveth power to the faint. Do I get an amen there tonight? And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Read with me, if you would, verse 31 together. Let's read it in unison. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Brother Todd, pray for us, and we'll be seated in a moment and jump into the message. Yes. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm not going to review the too lengthy tonight, but let's just rehash quickly the lessons we have learned about the eagle in our series. Our very first lesson we learned, we called the lesson about aptitude. We said an eagle has a sharp vision and a keen eyesight. You'll recall that we learned that the visual receptors per square centimeter in the human eye is 200,000, but in the eagle's eyes is 1.6 million receptors. They have 8 times greater eyesight than we do. The life lessons we learn from that is to identify your vision and your goal. Stick to your vision, no matter what obstacles stand in your way. We need to do the exact same thing with our goals. Focus on one thing to accomplish at a time. Give it your all. Give it your time. Give it your effort. Give it your energy. Focus and sell out to achieve what God's given you as a vision. What a great lesson, that lesson about aptitude. We also learned a lesson about altitude. The eagle lives in high places. We learned in that thought that to live in high places, we've got to be willing to leave our comfort zones. To live in high places, we need to learn to wait upon the Lord. Those who expect and look for and set their hope in God will never be disappointed. We said to live in high places, we must mount up with wings as eagles. We need to learn to ride the current. The wind, of course, is a type of the Holy Spirit. What a great issue it is in my life when I learn to ride in the power and in the ability of the Spirit of the living God. We also learned a lesson about the attitude. I love this one. We learned that eagles are fearless. Eagles literally never surrender to the size or strength of their prey. It will always fight to win its prey, to retain its territory. It is a fearless creature. And the great life lesson from this is that successful people are fearless. They don't run from their problems, but they face them head on. We also learned our fourth lesson in the series was about appetite. Eagles rarely eat dead meat. They will eat carrion, but only in desperation. We said in that point that we should not waste our energy and our time filling our souls with empty, evil, or eternally scarring entertainment. The question I asked was, what do you and I do for amusement? You remember that word amusement? The A means not, and muse means thinking. When you and I are not thinking, you can rest assured the devil is going to be at work in your life and my life. When I was a little boy, they used to say an idle mind is the devil's what? Workshop. Have an appetite for the truth, an appetite for what is right, if you're truly going to end up in the right place in your life. And boy, it's so, I'm not scolding anybody because I don't follow people on social media and what do they call that, troll people. If you comment a lot on Facebook, you're spending too much time on Facebook. I don't know how much time you have, but I'll tell you what, when my daughter set me up on social media because I was tired of people sending me videos that I couldn't open up and things like that, but she set a timer on my Facebook. I love that thing, Brother Ken. If I'm on it for 10, 15 minutes, man, it pops up and says, you spent too much time on Facebook. And you know what? I always take that as a Holy Spirit reminder. Yep, time to get off Facebook. Not wasting time. It is amazing the things we fill our appetite with. I won't preach that again tonight. But the fifth lesson we learned is about aeronautics. Eagles are high flyers. They're master flyers. You're never going to be the kind of bird God wants you to be if you hang around with yard birds all the time. We need to learn to soar. I'm not going to re-preach that tonight, but we also learned a lesson about acclimation. We learned that eagles love the storm. To this simple reminder, the life lesson of this thought is we need to get excited about the storms in our lives. Challenges bring opportunities. We could see the opportunities wrapped in our challenges. We get an awful lot farther in our life. But you know what most people are doing? They're complaining. They're looking for sympathy. They're belly aching rather than saying, for some reason, God's allowed this in my life. If he's allowed it, he's allowed it, Brother Mike, for a reason. I want to face the challenge, not run from it. The last point, and I want to re-preach this tonight because there's so much there, I'm not going to. But we learned in our last message the lesson about ancestry. The eagles nurture the next generation delicately. They are known as aggressive. They are known as ferocious and fearless of the creatures, and yet we said that no member of the bird family is any more gentle or more attentive to their young than are the eagle. In the whole verse that we have begun this series on every time we've begun, in Deuteronomy 32:11, gives us the five steps, the stirring of the nest, the fluttering of her wings, the spreading of her wings, teaching them to fly, the bearing them when they aren't yet able to figure out how to fly, swooping underneath them to save them, and this to put them through the process again. And I won't re-preach any of that tonight other than to say, the eagle raises her children to leave the nest. They're not supposed to be nest dwellers. They're supposed to fly. They're supposed to soar. And she goes to great lengths to get them to their destination. I'll say this tonight. Great people invest in the younger generation by teaching them the lessons of life and the lessons of love. Listen, when you and I give our young people daring challenges, we're not overwhelming them. We're helping them reach their potential. I used to preach this a lot. I probably haven't done it as often in recent years as I did when my kids were younger. But the Bible says that children are arrows. And it talks about our quiver being full of them, that you're a blessed mom or dad if you got a quiver full of youngins. But think about that tonight. Children are arrows. You all know what arrows are for, don't you? They're to be shot. And what I fear sometimes happens is we so dominate our children that we never let them make any decisions while they're growing up. We make them all for them, and then we hope that on the shot we have that it's a bullseye. And my challenge tonight to all of us would be, sure, mom and dad need to be in charge, and sure, mom and dad need to nurture and guide their children, but let your kids make a few mistakes. Let your kids try some things, and I don't mean sinful things, but if they get an idea in their head and they want to do something, you might be good just sit back and let them do it. And if they succeed, brag on them, and if they fail, teach them how to recover from failure. But I'm afraid, Brother Ken, sometimes we so dominate our children that as soon as they leave our house, all the decisions they make start being failures, and it's because we didn't teach them how to make decisions. We made them all for them. I wish I had time to preach that tonight. I'm going to get on a rabbit trail I can't get off of tonight. But let's zero back into our text tonight, Isaiah 40, verse 31. I want to give you one last lesson tonight, lesson number 8. And I call this the lesson about awakening. And you say, preacher, what do you mean? Notice, if you will, in verse 31, I'm going to dive right into the heart of the thought tonight. But they that wait upon the Lord, say it with me out loud tonight, church, shall do what? Renew their strength. Now, I'm not going to ask you to go there, but Isaiah 103, verse 5 says this, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, listen, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Psalms 105, verse number, or 103, verse number 5. Renewed like the eagle. Why does God say renewed like the eagle in Psalms 103, verse 5? Why does He say in verse 31 of Isaiah 40, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles? The reason is, and boy, this is deep tonight, and I won't go deep, but I just want to make sure you grab this simple thought tonight. Eagles have a rebirth and a renewal as a daily process in their lives. Let me say that again. They have a rebirth or a renewal as a daily process in their life. Brother Ken, an amazing fact about eagles is every year they go through a process in ornology that we call molting. What they actually do every single year, they grow an entirely new set of feathers. You say, how's that apply to us tonight, preacher? They literally renew themselves every single day. They are going through a renewal process. Listen tonight, it is a gradual process. You never look at an eagle and see half their feathers gone. It happens daily, so it's not as noticeable. But what is actually happening, that annual molting is part of their survival story. Does that have an application to you and I tonight? Oh my goodness, does it ever. Show me a person, Brother Todd. Show me a family. Show me a church. Show me a company. Show me any enterprise that cannot molt, and I'll show you a person, an organization, family, listen, my friend, that will not survive. Molting, in the world of ornology, which is a study of the bird kingdom, is synonymous with renewal in the life of a Christian. I need to be renewed, not just once a year at a revival meeting, not just a time or two a year in a special service. I need to experience renewal, Brother Billy, every day of my life. When Paul said, I die daily, well, you understand Paul's living, so how's he living and dying at the same time? He's dying and having resurrection happen every single day. What Paul's saying is, I'm not cruising. I'm not living in my comfort zone. I'm going through a process every day because I know if I don't renew, I won't survive. Well, there's so much here. One of the thoughts I wrote in my notes about this point is it's a natural process for an eagle. An eagle doesn't say, you know what, I need to start renewing. An eagle doesn't say, you know what, October is going to be renewal month for me. No, that's not the way it works. It's something that is part of every day. It's something that's part of their very existence. In every life, in every relationship, and in every organization, this principle is true. Now, I'm going to get on a rabbit trail if I'm not careful tonight because there's so much preaching in this, but this statement's true in every relationship, every organization, every business, every church, every marriage. This statement's true. No pain, no gain. But you know what happens to us, Brother Ken, as we age? And boy, I have caught myself doing this time and time again. I fight it nonstop. When you think you know a lot, do I got your attention? When you start thinking you got it all figured out, you know what happens? You go into hibernation mode. You stop renewing. You stop renewing. I get asked this question constantly by other preachers. It must be nice to take a church, see, pastor 30-some years in one church, and take another church in your late 50s. You don't have to study anymore. Assuming that what a man would do my age and in my situation, that I would just go back into my files and preach all my old sermons. Have you ever wondered if I'm preaching to you the same stuff I preached to my people back in Gaylord years ago? I hope you haven't feared that. But the answer is absolutely unequivocally, that's not what I've done. You know why? Because I don't want to die. Oh, I could get up and perform every week and do a little sermonette and make it look like that I'm a student of the Word of God and all I do is know how to get into files from yesteryear. Who am I talking to tonight? The reason I don't do that is because I want to survive. You know, all them years when God was blessing and great things were happening in our church in Gaylord, thank God, it was all the Lord. I ain't taking any credit for it. But it was because I was growing by leaps and bounds in my Christian life. God was bringing revival to my soul from my relationship and my digging and my seeking God. And you know what I knew when I came to Clayton, North Carolina 6 years ago? If I want those great miracles to happen here that happened there, I got to be the same preacher I was when I was 30 when I'm 60. Can I beg everyone in this room tonight to hear me out? Just because you're in your 50s or 60s or 70 tonight doesn't mean you need to stop renewing yourself. I was in a meeting years ago with Brother Hiles. And one of the messages that has stuck in my mind ever since. He preached a message from over that there in Isaiah where the Bible says, I'll pour water on him that is thirsty in floods upon the dry ground. And the title of his message, Brother Ken, was, I'm Still Thirsty. And he made an analogy I've never forgotten. Here's what he said. And he was probably in his late 60s, early 70s when I heard him preach this. He only lived to be 74, so he was at the latter end of his life. But he made this statement. He said, most men, if from their late 50s on, if their pastors stop building churches and start maintaining churches. He said, very few men in their 60s and 70s are pastoring thriving, growing churches that are breaking new boundaries. He said, most men in their 60s and 70s are in maintenance mode. They're not building. They're now preserving towards the end. Well, I'm on the edge of my seat. I'm a young man when he's preaching this. And he said, my church has grown every year, and I forget the number. He said, like the last 17 or 18 years, we've grown every year. He said, you know why we're still growing at First Baptist? Because I'm still thirsty. And the whole message was, don't get in a place where you stop being thirsty, where you keep hungering for God, you keep seeking God, you keep walking with God. You know what he was talking about? Renewing yourself. I don't know about you tonight. I could not go to a church. I'm just being transparent. I could not go to a church where everybody's just playing church. Just going through the motions, doing their religion, and then leave church and live. Hey, listen, if church isn't dynamic, if church isn't life-changing, why are we doing it? And if you just want to do religion, man, the Catholics, man, one service a week, you're covered, man. What are you trying to be a Baptist for if you are just going through the motions? No pain, no gain. What are you trying to say, preacher? So many people want success, but they don't want to go through the process of sacrifice, of hard work, of disappointments, of heartache that come with it. Listen, to survive and to grow, you've got to be willing to change. Where did we get the... Somehow, Brother Ken, we so messed up some of our understanding of theology that we've preached against the word change like change is a bad thing. Can I say to you tonight, change is not only a good thing, change is a God thing. If any man be in Christ, he's a what? That sounds like change to me. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. You know what the word become means? That's talking about a process, not an arrival point. You know what God wants, Brother Todd? He wants you and I to keep growing. He wants us to keep striving. He wants you and I to keep reinventing. He wants you and I to keep reaching. Hey, listen, the songwriter said it best when he said, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Hey, listen, I don't want to stop growing. If I don't want to stop growing, I got to keep renewing. Can I give some thoughts tonight as I tie this all together? To survive and grow, I said we must be willing to change. You see, how's that translate, preacher? Maybe you need to end some toxic relationships. You understand you're never going to get where you need to go if you got an anchor in your life that you carry with you everywhere you go. Maybe tonight you need to leave a toxic job. Maybe you need to get out of a destructive habit, get out of destructive thinking, destructive traditions, mindsets, listen, that no longer serve you. Do you have enough integrity to look into a mirror and be able to take inventory and say, you know what, that's not good. That needs to go. Here I am on the last Sunday night of the year. If I don't want to be in the same mindset a year from tonight that I am right now, then I need to evaluate things in my life that need to go this year. Can I beg everyone under the sound of my voice tonight, not everything you got in your wagon tonight needs to cross the threshold next Thursday morning with you into a new year. Wouldn't it be awesome in a few minutes, Brother Mike, when we have an invitation, if we brought some stuff to this altar and left it in 2025? Didn't take that besetting sin. Didn't take that destructive habit into a new year. You know what 2 Corinthians 4:16 says? I think I have a slide for that, don't I, Brother William? Look at that verse. For which cause we faint not. Look at it. But though our outward man perish, read that next phrase with me out loud, would you, church? Yet the inward man is what? Renewed day by day. Renewal needs to be daily. See, we occasionally, I don't know a nice way to say it tonight, we need to experience a renewal. You know where that starts, don't you? You got to recognize you need it. I'd beg some of you men tonight to look your precious wife in the eyes in the next couple of days and say, I'm making some changes this year. I'm not crossing into 2026 with all the baggage I've got in my life. I'm going to do this. With God's help, I'm going to do that. With God's help, this is where we're going to go. You know what we're talking about tonight? We're talking about shedding off those bad habits, getting yourself out of a rut. Listen, sometimes we need to get rid of some painful memories, some painful habits and heartaches. Listen, an eagle annually rejuvenates itself. Can I tie it all together tonight? You cannot soar till you clear your head. Did you hear me? As a man thinketh in his heart, say it with me out loud, so is he. A great book was written probably 30 years ago, The Battles in the Mind. You and I will not soar if we don't clear our head. Clearing our heads, I believe this, Brother Todd, is the first step of getting on the level that you need to be to do what God has called you to do. And when I say clear your head, I'm talking about all the contaminants that are keeping you stuck to the ground tonight. Things that weigh down the human soul. Stop you from being creative. Stop you from being innovative. Hey, listen, you cannot be innovative and be depressed at the same time. Would you let me aggravate you for a little bit? Sometimes you got to get people mad before you can get them to change their mind. You need to get victory over your depression. I'm not saying that with callousness or with no compassion. Depression is a difficult thing. I'm not saying it's a light thing. I'm not saying people that are battling with it, that it's their fault. But listen, you'll never get over depression unless you want to. Well, I don't know how to start. Go talk to somebody. Get out of your comfort zone. Talk to somebody that's got the victory. Find a book. Listen to a podcast. Listen to a sermon series. But whatever you do, don't stay there. I'm going to say it one more time tonight. You cannot be innovative and depressed. We've got to delete the depression. Depression depresses you. It's not too complicated to understand that. God says, rise up. Depression says, stay down. Listen, there's nothing up there for you. You don't belong up there. You deserve to be where you are. You're too young. You're too old. You're too simple. You're too poor. You're too black. You're too white. Hey, listen, that's a lie from the devil. Stop staying there. I want you to stand tonight, and I want to ask you to do something. Go ahead and stand with me. It is 5:37. Your clock didn't lie to you. Now, you may be by yourself, but if there's anyone close to you, I want you to look at them tonight, and I want you to say something to them. This isn't a trick. But look at somebody there by you or next to you tonight and say, let's soar. 2026. Now, when you're done, I want you to do this. What if your business soars in 2026? What if your marriage soars in 2026? What if your finances soar in 2026? What if our church soars in 2026? Would that be a blessing? It's not going to happen just because we want it to happen. It requires some renewal. You know what I got to do? I got to change my mind about some things. You know what some of us need to do tonight, Brother Mike? We need to say, this ain't okay no more. I don't mean go home and be ugly to your family, but sometime in the next day or two, maybe Dad, Mom, maybe we need to have a little family meeting and say, let's decide the stuff that is not okay anymore as a family. And let's stop it. By the way, Mom and Dad, get your kids' opinions on that. The problem doing that, they might have some things that they put on the list that's got more to do with you than it does them. That might be good. I'd love it if my kids looked me in the eye and said, Dad and Mom, I think I could reach my potential if this wasn't in my way. Brother Mike, I'd get right with God in a heartbeat tonight if my kid told me that and asked me to get victory over something so they could reach another level in their life. Are you kidding me? I don't know about you tonight. I want to soar in 2026. I don't think it's coincidental that God had it all worked out. I ended this series tonight. This lesson is about an awakening. Will you come ahead, Miss Joy, if you will, to the piano? Will you volitionally, it's a personal question. I'm done tonight. Can I ask it to you? Will you volitionally and consciously commit tonight to renewal? Renew my mind, Lord. Renew my mind, Lord. Romans 12:2 talks about the renewing of your mind. If I get this thing straight, the rest of me is going to follow suit tonight. Miss Joy, just play whenever you're ready. Let's bow our heads tonight, church. Let's gather around this altar. I'd love to encourage some husbands and wives to come to this altar tonight and say, God, we're asking for some renewal in our family, renewal in our marriage, renewal in my life personally. And I want the victory. I want to do some molting. I don't want to wait till a train wreck to say I need help. I want to be fixing me every day.